Hello and welcome to episode 3 of This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. Today we're delving into the world of flirting and exploring whether it's a harmless way to express interest in someone or whether it's more harm than good. Is it just a mask for more threatening, intimidating behaviour? We will answer that question in a moment, but we have a more pressing question that we need to answer first. Why can't we have nice things this week? Mine is car salesman.
Panic attacks.
Poor pool etiquette.
Yes.
I knew that you would.
Yeah, I agree. Disney movie.
Why? Which one? Because of the traditional gender norms that they promote. Is that why? Cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a deep dive into the theme of flirting versus harassment. So flirting has been constituted as a fun, harmless way to show interest in someone. It's been defined in the dictionary as behaving as though sexually attracted to someone, but playfully rather than with serious intentions. The thing glaringly missing from this definition is consent. The folk on the misogynistic side of the fence are up in arms about the idea of flirting no longer being acceptable. Some are claiming it will ruin the office Christmas party and that sexual harassment awareness is ruining people's ability to flirt and socialise. When they say people, they mean men. So what are our thoughts on that?
I would like to disengage those two implications of like flirting and then harassment, because I like flirting, but flirting isn't something that you do to someone. Flirting is something that kind of happens organically when you speak to people. It's the moment that you realize that there's kind of a spark. How is that ruining your Christmas party, Bill? You're just being a dick to someone. That's what's ruining your Christmas party. You're just like, if there's no, you can't flirt with someone. Flirting is something that happens between you and someone if there is a spark. If you are flirting with somebody and then they're not reciprocating, you're just harassing them.
Yeah.
Bill.
But I guess that's the bit that to play devil's advocate, that's the complaint, right? It's like, in their mind, I guess, there's this thought of, well, it's something that two people are participating in. Somebody has to make the first move. Somebody has to step, right? Make the step. And if you make the step and the correct conditions aren't there, then it's harassment. So how do you know if it's going to be flirting or harassment? That's the argument, right? That they make. And I think that it's a lot of people who make this claim and approach this, it's in bad faith. It's coming from a place of, they genuinely are conflating flirting and harassment, because those things are indistinguishable to them, because they don't necessarily feel like they need like positive indicators present in order to act on that behaviour. Flirting, or quote unquote flirting, what they see as flirting, is just something that they get to just approach a woman and behave in a sexualized way, and that's a problem. But I think you know, I mean, the reason we're talking about the subject and your reaction to it as well is like indicative of the muddiness of it, right? And I'm landing on a somewhat different kind of place, because again, like the lore of the podcast, you know, before we started this project, in some of the first conversations I had with Francesca about it were about the way that I was phrasing it at the time was flirting skepticism, where I was like, I just don't think that flirting is a real thing. I don't think that it's a thing. I think that you have harassment and then you have rapport. Like you have good rapport that can be platonic, or it can be like if there's like kind of like sexual energy or like attraction between people, then it can take like a sexual dynamic. But ultimately, it's like good rapport and good connection, and it's the same kind of thing that's happening. You have that, and then you have harassment. But a lot of problematic people, a lot of men. And women, don't get me wrong, I've been on the receiving end of harassment under the guise of flirting from women, lots of times in life. But yeah, there's this sort of, you know, we're going to harass people, we're going to call it flirting, and that mechanism allows people to sort of like give people a sense of permission to like invade other people's boundaries and behave in ways that are harmful under the guise of, oh, this is a social convention, though, I'm just doing what's normal.
And I actually have an analogy for that. So those who are familiar with Friends, I'm showing my age by mentioning it, but on one end of the scale we have Joey with his, hey, how you doing? It could be seen as harmless, could be seen as building rapport. Some people might not see it that way. But then on the other end of the scale, you have Pete and Monica's relationship, where Pete pursued Monica endlessly. She said no quite a few times. He ended up buying the restaurant that she worked in, taking her to Italy for pizza, using power and money to get what he wanted. She finally ended up dating him. So that kind of shows that there's definitely the opposite ends of that kind of spectrum kind of thing.
Definitely going from just generic harassment to workplace harassment. Voluntarily creating the situation where you can like harass his
employees.
Now
I'm your boss.
Yeah. Isn't that more fun for you to say no?
Just come on one date with me. I'll take you to Italy in my private jet.
And if you say no, I will leave you there. It's weird though, because this is the kind of, again, devil's advocate thing that is bullshit, but where somebody will go, well, you need the man to prove himself because they're fickle and because they change their minds and they're inconsistent. And so the men.
The men are fickle?
Yes, males.
The men,
males.
They don't know what they want.
The males are fickle and they don't know what they want. And so you need them to prove themselves. And you do that by like giving tests. That's the...
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you have to get them to like not just say that they like you, but like repeatedly say that they like you and prove that...
Is this a thing in flirting?
This is a thing of like, I need to know that he's not just flirting with me because I'm the next warm body, but he actually likes me, and the persistence is proof, typically.
Mm.
This is like a cultural thing. I'm not saying that I necessarily need somebody to like stalk me home as proof of love, but
I can get vibes of like the animal kingdom where like the males are the ones who peacock, who have to like do the dance or like to show that I'm the stronger one out of all the males here, choose me kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, you say this, but then there's also negging, which I think is probably considered like a subset of flirting.
Absolutely.
Whereby like men sort of give you, what's the term? Like sort of like a backhanded compliments. Where it's like saying something nice about you, but it's actually sort of undermining you and making you feel shit about yourself. And the purpose of it is the dynamic where it's supposed to kind of make the woman feel like, I don't know, like they're lucky to be receiving this man's attention.
Yeah.
Because I still like you in spite of these kind of crap things about you. I'm not articulating this very well because I've had several glasses of wine, but...
Yeah, no, there's something in that men want the attention, but they frame it in a way of, you're lucky to have my attention and you should be grateful
This is the Mr. Collins version of flirting, where he's like, so I want you to marry me and I want you to remember when you mull over your answer that you're unlikely to get other offers.
And also, these are the most exemplary potatoes that have ever been in existence.
I'm more interested in the potatoes.
Yeah. What cousin might I direct my compliments for these exemplary potatoes?
And then immediately propose,
For anyone who doesn't know, this is Pride and Prejudice references. So yeah, it feels like already there's like a real coming apart of like, you know, because I feel like the example that you gave about the sort of persistence thing.
Yes.
And the fact that that's a cultural norm already reveals a problematic underbelly of flirting because that encourages a strange sort of like yes is no, sorry, no is yes kind of thing of... Well, you have to just be persistent, that kind of token resistance thing. Yeah. And then again, the example that I'm giving of negging, it's like, again, like a very like obviously, like very clearly, like problematic, like dynamic of approaching like a sexual relationship, or a romantic relationship or whatever, you know.
And if I may go back to my Mr. Collins example, that's another thing that he said is like, I can only assume that by saying no, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he says, I can only assume that you're only saying no because you're applying one of those feminine practices of women of appearing modest by not accepting the first proposal. And you're only seeking to like increase my affection through denial. And this is like Jane Austen. This is like for us ancient times. And yet it was still a thing. And then, and she has to explicitly say, yeah, I'm not one of those women that is going to like tempt a guy.
I'm not like other girls.
Or like fuck with him by just by saying no. If I mean no, I will say no. Like,
and that's like consent comes into that. It's like no respect for boundaries. Like it's like, well, I don't need to respect those boundaries. I don't agree with this, those boundaries. Therefore, I can still go with ahead with what I want to do or what I want to say.
I also feel like though, like just that there was something in that made me think about like the cool girl archetype, which I feel like also harbors a lot of like these sort of social norms about letting in harassment through the Trojan horse of flirting. Whereby it's like, you know, if you want to be the cool girl, well, you kind of need to be okay with a lot of like unpleasant or like sexualizing or, you know, crappy behavior.
Yeah, because otherwise you don't have any sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like, why are you being so difficult?
Yeah.
It's just a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're too delicate.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Like, type of ambiguity. Man decides to play on. Like I'm flirting, but if I feel like you're rejecting me, then it's on you. Like it's your fault, you're misunderstanding me. I've never said that, you know.
So like, I was never flirting in the first place.
Absolutely.
And that comes down to the question that there's, well, not the question, a statement of there's no such thing as accidental harassment. It's if you're harassing, you're pursuing someone, like you're, it's like a continuation of horrible behavior towards someone, making someone feel worried, making someone like feel scared about where they are, who they're with, kind of thing.
And I'm sorry, Bill, but if you weren't flirting with me, and therefore if you weren't flirting with me and this was all a joke and you're just having a bit of fun on your night out, then my saying no should mean fuck all to you. So why are you taking a tone and why are you not just laughing it off and being like, because if you were like, I can imagine this. There's a guy, we're out, that we've just met, he's kind of being funny, he said something and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. If he was genuinely just there for the banters, like for the lols, he would just be like, oh no, shit, fuck, sorry, I didn't mean that, like totally fine, let's get another drink, that's fine. The only situation where he exaggerates and he gets potentially like aggressive either verbally or physically is if that did touch him, if they was like, well, no, I was expecting something. And
there's something about not respecting that women have autonomy as well, that they can make a decision for themselves of what they want, what they need, and actually not seeing women as that, like, so women have to be polite, they have to just comply, but there's also that, a kind of, a thing within that in itself of a fear for some women. I know that I've experienced that of like, or maybe it comes to kind of self-blame and self-shame of like, if I am polite when a guy is flirting with me, whether it's obvious or not, whether I see it as kind of harassment or not, like it's that a kind of fear of, oh, that's, they're going to see that, it's going to be codified as I'm flirting back. And then that puts, kind of puts me in a position, like a worse position of how then I get this, because then there's a fear of what if there's violence at the end of this kind of thing as well.
It makes me think of like, you know, in feminist theory, there's, they talk about like double binds, like oppressive double binds, where like one of the particularly kind of like difficult and toxic experiences of oppression is being in these situations where you have a choice between, you know, ultimately kind of like two bad kind of outcomes. So like in the case of like, you know, flirting, you have the choice to like, you know, kind of comply with the social norm of being like socially pleasant and placating and kind of being nice and kind of going along and submitting to the social norm of like, well, women are so, you know, women are socially passive and receptive of romantic attention. Or, you know, and when you do that, you can get, quote unquote, get yourself into trouble by ending up in a situation where suddenly you're then accused of like, well, you went along with it, or you were flirting back through being friendly or pleasant. Or you can resist the social norm and put a boundary in and say, actually, no, get the fuck, or, you know, I'm not interested. And then when you do that, you know, face the risk of, you know, violence or like a frustrated or even violent response. So there's this kind of like horrible double bind where it kind of feels like there's no correct way to behave, and that option of like resisting the norm and kind of going like, sorry, I'm not interested. We've kind of already said this in a few different ways or skirted around the point, but again, it's what makes me so it reveals what I find so frustrating about the social practice of flirting, because I feel like horrible men can hide in it. Covertly hide horrible behaviour under the guise of flirting in ways that is so ubiquitous and so difficult to challenge and to pinpoint and to create accountability around, because it becomes that thing where like if you resist to put a boundary in and go like, well, no, I'm not interested, then you can get that backlash of like, what? No, I wasn't flirting with you, I was just trying to be nice. Mm-hmm. And there's this sort of like making you feel like there's something what's the word? Like deviant about you. Mm-hmm. Like that you've picked something up, or you're kind of like gross, like or something, or you think really big of yourself, and it's just like, oh, it's so offensive when that happens.
I have an example.
Oh,
can I just chip in?
Love it. Paint us a picture.
Yeah.
One of many. But let's start with the most recent. I had home renovations done, and I employed this contractor. And he was known to me from the past, from like my, you know, a contact that I had from someone I knew. And I think I should have known better what I know now about this person.
No, you shouldn't.
No.
It's not your responsibility to have known that.
That's very true, actually. He should have known better.
He should have known better not to behave like that.
That's a very good point. Oh, no, I was talking about the person who was basically, I'm not sure how to explain. It's the person that introduced me,
but even
to this
so,
person.
Still,
you can't be paranoid about everyone.
Yeah. That's very true, actually. But anyway, so I employed this person to do this part of like house renovations, and immediately he was quite flirty with me. And at the beginning, I was like, I'm not sure what's happening. I just ended a very difficult, like, long relationship, and I was not. I mean, I'm still not in the mood of dating anyone, but at the time I was very much like, you know, stay away from me type of vibe, and I was very happy to give off that vibe of me. But this contractor did not clearly pick up on that cue, and what happened is that like throughout like the couple of weeks that he spent in my place during the house renovation, so he had my home keys, he came with another maid colleague, and I live alone as a woman in this flat, and it was my new flat, right? Like, and for me, there were a lot of things that were going on in my mind. I was like, well, this guy is coming to my place, he's doing this big bit of renovation, so if I decide to end the contract, then someone else will need to step in, and then it's going to cost me more money, it's going to cost me more trouble, I'm going to leave without this bit of like flat that I cannot access.
Mm-hmm.
And my flat is very tiny, and it was like quite significant, the type of renovation that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what happened is that he started making like a lot of flirty comments, and then he started like texting me. So when he was going home after like his shift, he would just text me to continue the conversation, to the point that then I had to basically say like, man, what the heck? Like, you know, I'm not interested. And then he replied to me as a text message, like, if I wanted to sleep with you, you would have known much sooner. And then to that, I had to reply, I never had to have this conversation with any of the contractors. I employed before. Mm-hmm. So clearly there is something happening here. And then things didn't stop there because he kept on making different type of jokes. So one of them being like, I went to pick up like some, I don't know, some material. And I have a van, and in my van, I sometimes store some of the things that I used to sleep in my van, because I just go and sleep in my van sometimes. Yeah. And I didn't remove it when I went to pick up this material. So I asked this guy, can you help me to bring this stuff upstairs? Because I live in a building without lift. And he was like, yeah, sure, I'm coming downstairs. And then the moment that I opened my van's door, he basically made a comment about the fact that I had a bed in there. And then I was just like, I don't think this is funny. But then, of course, there was also part of me still thinking, oh my God, I cannot just, end the contract with this guy, because it's going to cost me so much more money. And it's going to be such a big hassle for me to have like half of this room done, and then not having access to this room, and then having to contract somebody else. And then I'm clearly going to be at a disadvantage, because that's going to be like an emergency. And then, I cannot afford it, realistically. And this guy, so in my mind, I was like, what can I do? And realistically, we know as women, like, playing in nice is the only thing that we can do. So I tried to put my boundaries in place. And then at the same time, I would just like laugh at the odd joke and, not really playing along, but be very firm with my boundaries. And at the same time, making sure that it would not just like,
but it's like
stop this work
altogether. You have to do this like 3D chess every single time you laugh at a joke, because you're like, is this encouraging? Is this the kind of joke that's like, oh, I think you're sexy kind of laugh? Or is this like, oh yeah, well,
absolutely.
Yeah, well, kind of like self-gaslighting might come in there, because you're like, am I overthinking this? Am I seeing something here that's actually not being portrayed? But is that the guy's sense of entitlement? I'm entitled to take up your time and your space and make you feel uncomfortable, but I can just like phrase it as a joke and it's fine. But then that leaves you thinking, can I even trust my own judgment just now, because I don't even know what's going on?
Absolutely. And I was very lucky, because at the time I would send a voice message to my friend at the end of the day, my female friend, and be like, I'm just gonna tell you what's happening here. And at the time, because I was I think I was in distress for other things, so this guy didn't really help with the entire situation. So in a way, I was kind of joking about this. And then I was sending these voice messages to my friend, and my friend would just like voice message me back and be like, oh my God, Francesca, this guy is such a creep. Mm-hmm. There is something incredibly wrong about him. So basically, I was so grateful that I had a female friend who would just like daily remind me, like, this guy is a creep, you shouldn't do that. That's absolutely not okay. And then reminding me, like, it's just going to end soon. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be fine. And then, also what you were saying about gaslighting, at a certain point, I was just like, am I actually flirting with this guy and I'm not realizing this? So I started sending screenshots to my friend, and my friend was like, oh my God, Francesca, it's very clear he's doing everything on its own.
Yeah.
Like, you absolutely give out nothing to this guy. You're very much like cutting short, you put your boundaries in place all the time, and then this guy is still ignoring that and he continues, but it's not you. Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm so thankful that I have this female friend who, was very clear about, like, no, it's all on this man. Otherwise, I would have
started. But you just know, right? That it's like, you on that side, the person who's feeling harassed and feeling concerned, the fact that you're doing the auditing of your behaviour, that you're, you're going through, getting other people involved to, vet your answers. Do you think this asshole's doing that? Do you think he fucking cares about the way that he's coming off, or the way that he's portraying it? Like, absolutely not. And I also feel like this is a nice place to pause and go, just for the listeners, this is why things like Task Her exist, which is like a platform for like a search engine for like female contractors. This is why this exists. And also, I feel like there's also like the need to do a shout out to one of our favorite men in the world, Shemek. Shemek is lovely. Shemek, who is, yeah, you've not So Jemmick is
is a contractor.
A contractor who works in Glasgow and is yes. So at the time
when
we first talked about this, I said, I know a guy and you should work with him, because not only is he just the most incredible, like, skilled person, he's just the nicest person. He's so respectful. He's just such a good person. Whenever anybody is, like, needing some work done, I recommend him.
So he was recently doing something in my apartment, and he was doing work mostly in the bathroom. And during the day when he was doing work, I was at home, like, working from home in my living room. The sweet, lovely man would knock on the door where I was working if he needed my attention or needed something, and would wait until I opened the door. Just in case. I'm like, that is so lovely. Thank you very much.
Yeah. He is so respectful, so lovely, mm-hmm. so honest, so just the best person.
Yeah.
Like, so the guy contracted.
Any more work you need on your flat. Yeah.
I know, yeah, now I know. Now
you will
I know.
Be working, you will be having there's no
absolutely. Can I add just one detail about this guy? Mm-hmm. Just to end it. He was going to get married soon. Right?
Barf!
I know.
Vomiting in synchronicity.
Yeah.
We need, like, one of those, like, little sound desks that makes, like, a vomit.
Gross. Yeah.
I'm so annoyed. I forgot what I was going to say there. God damn it.
It's okay. I'm annoyed too.
But the thing is, right, that is awful, but we can all relate. We've all had really uncomfortable experiences with men infringing our sense of safety and our sense of, like, again, that thing of, like, where it feels like the exploitation of the way that women are socialized to be, like, socially passive and polite and considerate and thoughtful. Yeah, like you made the incredible, you brought in the incredible metaphor of 3D chess. That is how it feels. Yeah. It feels like sometimes you're in these situations and you're, like, doing these mental gymnastics, trying to, like, figure out what's happening and trying to figure out what the best way to respond is. And it's like, that's, you know, this isn't how we should feel.
Thinking about your best survival strategy.
Yeah. Thinking about survival, but also thinking about politeness, thinking about personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. Thinking about, you know, like, the thing that I reacted to the most when you were talking about that story is the concern that you held responsibility for what was happening to you. And I fucking hate that. I just fucking hate it so much, and I hate it for you, and I hate it because I recognize how it feels to be in that situation where you've got this unwanted behavior from a man, and the first place that your head goes to is, what am I doing that's making this happen to me?
I should have known better, which is very true. That's
rather than, why is this fuckwit behaving like this to me?
Yeah.
Completely unprompted in all cases. It's just like just saunter over.
Harassment is one-sided.
It's not.
Absolutely. For sure. Oh, dear.
And there's something about, kind of, again, seeing women as objects. So it's like, the guy's doing something to the women. They're not seeing them as people who have autonomy, authority over their own lives, over the decisions they want to make. Mm-hmm. And if they don't agree with it, they will change their narrative so that they're always in the right and the woman's always in the wrong.
Yeah. But it's also, like, again, I think a lot of it's the kind of the lack of grasping the lack of grasping of the difference between just politeness and like interest.
I don't understand flirting, right? But at times, like,
well, there's a reason, because it's so
right, but at times people thought that I was flirting only because I was friendly, that I found, like, ridiculous.
I've had that with male friends who have kind of seen banterous conversation as me potentially flirting, and then overstepping the friendship boundary of thinking this could be something more. And I'm like, no. Yeah. I'm just being friendly.
But this is where, again, like you know, describing that is the reason that I land in this place where I'm like, again, like, my kind of flirting skepticism, where I'm like, I don't think that there is an actual tangible, real difference between platonic rapport and the kind of...
Yeah.
And flirting, I think that genuine flirting, if there is such a thing as genuine flirting, is like a sort of like a subcategory of that genuine connection and rapport. And that's how I've always felt. Like, my experiences were, I felt like I've been flirting with someone and it's been actual flirting that I'm participating in. And I feel like I'm like part of the generation of it. It feels very similar to like the type of like rapport I might have with a friend, where it feels like there's that kind of intimacy of like, oh, we really get each other, and like in jokes and this kind of like, you know, like the impulse to, when you're laughing and stuff, you know.
Yeah, the impulse of touching, that's what.
But there's a sexual or romantic energy in addition to whatever that thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of the situations that I've been in where I feel like I've been flirted at, I'm like in a cold sweat and feeling dread and feeling like, oh my God, how do I get out of this? This person is like,
yeah,
you know, behaving in this way towards me in a completely uninvited, unprompted kind of way.
Mm. Yeah, you know, sorry, can I just add something here? Like, I remember like a friend of mine, she was talking about like guys who offer you a drink at a bar. She would refer to that like they're buying your time.
Mm.
Basically, that's what they're doing. They're just buying the time to spend with you. You know, because then you feel obliged that you need to stay there and listen to them only because they offered you a drink.
Or you will go home and have sex with them.
Yeah.
With an expectation of that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the thing is, I agree about the point about banter. The point is, if I'm having a chat with my friends, there is never a point when I'm talking to my friends where I feel like if I laugh at the wrong joke, we might end up sleeping together.
Oh no, we all laughed. It's an orgy.
Exactly. Like, that's never happened to me. And yet, if I...
What
like,
a twist to this podcast.
And yet, if I, like, I do feel that sometimes if I'm talking to somebody at a bar, I feel like if I laugh at the wrong joke, it might be like, well, I guess we have to have sex now. And
what
I
happens
think,
when you laugh at your own joke? I
said, yeah. You have to listen to the episode on period chips to understand that.
But and I think it's because when you make friends, it's not typically when you make friends, you're both a bit like, I don't know who you are. This is, you know, it's a bit like, are we cool? We're not gonna overdo it right now. Let's maybe exchange numbers and talk. I don't know, like maybe we'll hang out at some point. It's very vague and like both parties are a bit like, I don't know who you are. You can feel it, and I do appreciate the directness and the visual impact that this phrase has, and I think it is just a Scottish one, but like when somebody's quote unquote firing into you, you can feel the aggressiveness
I've specifically used that phrase in describing some unwanted flirting situations to you, haven't I?
He was firing into.
So this is kind of bringing us into another point that I want to introduce on the concept of flirting, and is based on something I've seen that Fox News had come out with. We all know this is going to be great. So they came out with something saying that seeing flirting as harassment will kill romance.
Mm. Oh.
Sure.
Yeah. I can see that. Totally.
Yeah. And so then that made me go delve into a Reddit thread, which was fun.
Which is where all good things all come good. From.
I felt really good after reading all the comments in this.
Affiliated to Fox News.
Yes. Linking flirting to attractiveness. So it's flirting if you find the person attractive. It's harassment if you find them ugly. It's creepy if you don't find them attractive. So I'm going to read out some comments. This first one is amazing in particular. So this guy commented, as a male who works in a predominantly female career, nursing in brackets, I can tell you the absolute safest thing to do is make your co-workers think you're completely asexual. Never compliment anyone on hair, perfume, dress, breast implants, etc. It's all fun and games until it's not. The male will lose every time if there is a complaint. And then a comment underneath that says, if one of your top five things to compliment a woman on is possible breast implants, I'm not surprised you've gotten into enough shit to have learned to stay quiet.
Wow.
And the comments go on. I won't read them all out, but it's basically, yes, if you find the person attractive, it's okay, they're flirting. If you don't find them attractive, it's creepy, it's harassment, no matter what they're saying or doing.
So if the person flirting with me finds me ugly, then it's harassment?
If you find the person ugly, it's harassment. If you find
rule number one of don't be creepy is be hot. Right, okay. Mm. So there is no possible way that a famous actor who shall not be named could possibly be creepy or be accused of being creepy or be sued of being creepy because he's hot. Right. Except that that's happened multiple times now.
I mean, I've been in situations where the person, like, I've somebody who I objectively find very attractive has been quote unquote flirting with me in an unwanted and unappreciated and harassing way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I thought you were going to say that you, despite being very pretty, have been accused of harassment.
Oh, gee. Oh, thanks.
Sorry, pause.
I have not been accused of harassment.
You have not been accused of harassment.
Have I? I hope I've not harassed anyone.
Is there going to be another plot twist here?
Teasel. I feel a bit of harassment going on.
Yeah, I think this is also missing the point that women don't find people attractive in the same way that men do. And I'm kind of speaking off the cuff here. I don't know that there's science behind this at all, but I do feel like stereotypically men are like, ooh, boobs, hot. Or, I mean, I'm like majorly kind of minimizing it and stereotyping, but I do think that men kind of are,
I think,
capable.
It's gendered. I think it's like there's a gendered socialization thing because there is like a culture of this in certain pockets of lesbianism as well.
Perhaps.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know how, when you say like the science behind it, like it will definitely, I think, be cultural rather than, you know, sex based.
Maybe, but I was, well, what, one of the reasons that...
It's like the conquest thing, right? The kind of conquest attitude towards sexuality. Women are a thing to be like plundered and...
No, that's not what I was talking about. I was talking about just like the source of sexual interest is, I think, in men more like, I can just find somebody hot and I don't care who they are. I don't need to know who they are.
Yeah.
I can just find them hot. And with women, it's more like, I need to get to know them. I need to know that we have a rapport. And one of the reasons that made me think about that is I was reading a book recently called Perfume and Pain by an author that I can't remember yet, but it was about lesbian relationships. And one of the comments that she makes in the book is about how it's so much more liberating to be gay because the larger population of like lesbians, if you are with a woman, you don't have to worry so much about your appearance, not so much because other women will be like, yeah, whatever, I just like you.
Mm.
I just find you hot.
I have a dating story. It kind of links in with that. So it's kind of like kind of a mixture of both what you were saying, Erin, and what you were saying, Mira. Like, so having a conversation with this guy on like online dating, still getting used to online dating, getting to know him, because like found him attractive. That was all well and good. That was great. Box ticked. But wanted to get to know him, see if I actually had anything in common with him, like to build up that rapport. And what I found interesting was that this was throughout many times, like trying online dating, like him sending lots of photos of just him posing in his house. Like most of them, well, I think all of them from him were fully clothed, which is, I guess that's a bonus when it's online dating. But there was an expectation that I would send photos back, but I'm like, no, I'm not getting into that. I don't feel comfortable. I don't know. I've not even met you in person yet. You're not getting access to that, but still try to get to know the guy. But then he seemed like that was flirting, but he didn't really have any kind of, wasn't wanting to get to know me, and it became apparent. He's like, oh, it, towards the end or at the end of our chatting, he's like, oh, you're just talking to me as if I'm your brother. And I'm like, I'm trying to get to know you.
Wow.
He's like, oh, I've been flirting with you. I've been making so much effort. And I'm like, no, you haven't. You've been telling me about your day as a hairdresser and telling me how you went on a 2-hour long walk around your kind of where you live. Like, if you see that as flirting, I'm sorry, but no.
And then sending me random pictures of yourself and expecting what, explicit texting from me?
Yeah, or expecting me to woo over him, like, oh my God, you're so hot. Like, oh my, like, yeah, it's like kind of up and like ramping things up. I'm like, no, that's not how this works. I'm like, it's not.
Also, incest kink unlocked. You're talking to me like I'm your brother. You don't know my kinks. Maybe I get off on that. You don't know.
Awesome. I hope Rothman's listening.
Yeah. Well,
shout out to Mira's brother.
I do have a brother.
Yeah, there is. That's embarrassing.
It's mostly
having brothers.
Having brothers is so much. No, having a brother for me was very critical.
You have a brother.
All of my female friends from high school, all of the girls from my high school who were not my friends, actually, I should say, would approach me in school and be like, I saw your brother today, and I'm like, great for you. I don't know what you expect me to do about that.
So I had the same experience. I genuinely think that I was slightly cooler.
Yeah.
As a result of being Josh Klee's sister, because everyone fancied my brother.
Yeah, same. My favorite comment is people seeing photos of my brother when I was in high school and being like, oh, wow, he's so hot. You look nothing alike. Thanks.
Wow.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Mira.
Here lies Mira. Like, that was nice knowing you guys.
That sounds like his friends being like, oh my God, your brother's so hot, but I don't want to fuck you.
Yeah.
Just, well, to be clear.
Yeah.
Just because you like share genetics.
Yeah. We do look very different. I don't think that those people like actually meant to insult me. It was just, we look nothing alike, me and my brother.
I've not examined your brother's face closely enough.
Wow.
I can tell that me and my brother look quite...
Yes,
related.
I think you do.
Yeah, you do. You do look related. I think we're basically the same person, except he has a bigger chin.
So did we... where uncanny otherwise. Could be Mrs. Doubtfire. So where did we land on Emma being, like, wanting to potentially sleep with the hairdresser who was her brother?
Oh, I got out of there fast.
Oh, okay.
And I went to respond to him, but this is another example of men not being able to... having discourse or take responsibility.
Yeah.
He blocked me immediately before I could respond to him and like take him down a peg or two. And I was just like, oh great, you're not,
how dare you know,
you're not willing to actually have like face that like conversation. Like, it's just like, I will throw what you see as an insult at me and then run away. It's like,
Can we talk about this? Can we talk about the immediate block, immediate like aggressiveness, immediate retaliation,
yes,
as a result of like flirting, where it's like,
mm-hmm,
maybe, I mean, I feel like I need to, in my 3D chess plan, I not only have to think about how you're going to react and whether or not you're going to be violent, but also whether or not I want to know you at all, because odds are you're just talking to me because you want sex, and if I don't give,
yes,
you sex, then you're just going to disappear like a genie,
yeah,
back in your fucking bottle, and I'm never going to see you again.
Yeah.
So I have to do this like Madam Web thing of like, maybe I want to talk to you. So what do I do? Do I like sleep with you a couple of times and then pretend like we don't have chemistry so that we, like, what?
Yeah.
Just be a person, man. Just talk to me and like see where things go. It's so weird. Yeah. Immediate block. Who does that?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I only have experiences on two quite opposing ends of the spectrum, because all of the like actual relationships that I've had that I would constitute relationships have not really involved any of that, because they've all been quite like very, very mutual, very intense right from the start. And yeah, like the few kind of situations that I've had outside of that have ended quite soon, I guess. Like it hasn't got to that place. You know, because it's usually been in the context of like, I'm in a relationship and then someone's flirting with me, and so there's never the facing that difficulty of like, do I,
yeah,
how far do I go with this,
mm-hmm,
before, you know, do I have to kind of like, do I feel the pressure to like sleep with you, for example, or to like placate this in some way in order to like figure out if you're actually really interested in me? I've never really had to deal with that. It's always been like it's felt like quite a contained social experiment that I've not really permitted to happening, that's just sort of happening to me, where there's a person, usually a guy, but occasionally women, you know, doing flirting, quote unquote flirting, doing sexual interest at me, and then me having to kind of do the 3D chess of how do I manage this situation in a way that, and some of those situations, like, so there's a particular situation that I'm thinking of as I'm having these thoughts. And it's a good example, because I feel like something that's unnamed within this is that sometimes we're in these situations, and it might be that it's like, well, this pair, you know, you might want a relationship with this person, but not a sexual or romantic relationship.
Yeah.
And then it becomes that complicated thing of like, how do I now not get to have this friendship?
Yeah.
And so the situation that I'm talking about is like within a particular community. Academic community that I'm in, and it's somebody that I felt like I had this alchemy, this rapport with, this kind of like, oh yeah, actually I feel quite drawn to you, and I kind of want to hang out with you and chat to you and stuff. So that like necessary foundation was there for me.
Yeah.
And then they were behaving, you know, in a like a kind of sexually charged way, and that I wasn't giving out, I didn't feel like I was giving out that energy. I was just genuinely like, I want to be your friend. And then when that started happening, it started this horrible process of, I need to kind of reject you softly in a way that is going to make me feel really like cruel, even though I've not consented to the way that you're approaching me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it feels like it's going to preclude friendship, which is a friendship that I actually would quite like to have. And since that awkwardness of kind of getting that back down, the few interactions I've had with this person have felt very, very different.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's like, I feel punished.
This is exactly what I was talking about, from the fear of the immediate block. I'm like, can we not have... So from our conversation, this is what I'm taking away, that flirting is. It's an interaction that will either end... There's only two ways... when you're, and you know it, when you're in a conversation with somebody, it will either end in you two having sex or in immediate block or whatever comes closest to that. If for some reason you can't be blocked and you have to keep on talking, it will be in a way that is very uncomfortable, and you have to pick between never speaking to this person again or speaking to them in very awkward circumstances, or you have to have sex. There's no third option, and that's what flirting is.
Or death.
Or or you can jump off a building.
No. I mean like because of gender-based violence.
Oh, sure.
Yes. I mean like rape and murder.
Sure.
But I would offer some kind of nice kind of like piece to that, because I have experience.
Yeah.
Like, there is hope out there somewhere. But I have had an experience of like a friend sharing his like feelings for me and wanting more. And me kind of like softly kind of rejecting him, but still wanting the friendship, and him understanding, respecting my boundaries, and we've been able to maintain that friendship. It's not, we don't see each other all the time, but it's never been that kind of close friendship, but we're still kind of good friends, and I still class him as a really good guy. And I feel like that's been a very rare, but that's why I want to offer this. It's like, I've had that positive experience of that, which... I'm guessing not a lot of people have had that.
Yeah. And I know who you're talking about, and I'm a big fan of that person. And
aww.
It's someone you know as well, and you're also a big fan of that person.
Aww, lovely.
Do you know who I mean?
No.
But also, I wonder if it's a matter of like giving relationships time, right? Like there is such a, like an urgency to mate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Especially online dating.
Some say there's an urgency to me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah,
and you know, like I'm thinking like of myself, and sometimes what I'm realizing is that I need time to understand what's going on for me. And, you know, like sometimes I approach someone, you know, regardless of genders, right? Like I'm just like, oh my God, I really like you, you know, but who are you for me, mm-hmm. right? Like, can, you know, am I really liking you because of X, Y, Z, or because I can really like you as a person fully, right? And I think the same is for me when I don't know, when there is something maybe romantic or sexual into it, I just want to understand it a bit better.
Yeah.
And I feel like that because of this, like, pressure cooker we're all in, I feel like, oh, I cannot just like, stay with myself and think mm-hmm. deeper. I just have to react immediately. And react immediately considering, you know, the, you know, upbringing in patriarchy means basically, like, just go for it.
Yeah,
you know, like, this guy is good, mm. you know, he won't hurt you, or, like, you know what I mean, all of this narrative, like, oh, is your charming prince and he's going to save you, you're gonna be much better, you know, when actually in reality that was not my experience so far. So, you know,
something in that for me that I totally agree with, of like going through the being reintroduced to the dating scene, and it's all online dating where it was just like an absolute nightmare, but not feeling that I could trust my gut or go with, like, just feeling totally out of my body and not sure what I wanted, because it was that mm-hmm. I felt that pressure of, like, I need to date because this is what I need to do mm-hmm. to find someone. But actually, now that I'm in the relationship that I'm in, I realize, like, I feel safe in this relationship mm-hmm. and I truly feel it in my body, and, like, the relief that that gives me is that, like, mm-hmm. the pressure was taken away then. Kind of thing, and it's that's been a very rare thing as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly the thing.
Now people are crying.
Hashtag most Roddies. Famous boyfriend's name is Roddy.
Wonderful.
So we change it to most Roddies. The hashtag.
Because Roddy himself gave an example of a really crap Roddy.
That's very
so
true.
We can be all Roddies.
So it can't be all Roddies.
But most Roddies. What hashtag Roddies? Most Roddies.
Hashtag all Roddies we know. Which is
two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you about, like, feeling like, you know, you feel it in your body, right? And when it's not the case, you're not in your body. Like, if I'm thinking about, like, all the times that relationship went south or sour, it was when I couldn't really connect to my body because of, like, this rush and, you know, this urgency of, like, oh, so I'm just thinking about, I need to mate. I'm clearly not feeling the romance at this stage. Like, so just like, we need to get together and have sex. No, but, like, you know, like to connect in any way, because then I'm not really connecting because I'm not feeling it, right? Like, and then it goes into this type of flirting mm-hmm. when the other person is just flirting at you and you're just like, I'm not feeling this. This is not my thing.
There's something that as well that we're socialized into, like, there needs to be a spark, and that spark, but sometimes the spark is like you're totally dysregulated from your body and it's actually not safe, but you're not used to feeling safe, and it's that you're just used to those the types rush. Of like disorganized attachments with people, kind of.
This is basically like,
sorry, I'm getting into therapy talk now.
No, basically that's me, like, to the T. It's basically what it was, like, so incredibly, like, unsettled, and all sorts of stuff were going on for me. So whenever I felt like, you know, butterfly in the stomach, quote unquote, like, then I was like, oh my God, yeah, it's because I fancied this person. No, if I took my time, I wouldn't know.
Fight or flight.
Exactly. Yeah. I just needed to fight. And I didn't, because, you know, like, technically it's like, as you said, Emma, the spark, I should feel it and it should be, great.
There's something I want to introduce. I think it's important to kind of, like, talk around in this particular episode, and probably in other future episodes as well, but it's the Liz Kelly's continuum of violence. So she aimed to change the approach from categorising violence against women and girls as episodic and deviant incidents of extreme cruelty and harm to being on a broad spectrum of socially sanctioned male aggression, coercive behaviour, notions of entitlement and deep-rooted patriarchal norms. It's an ongoing system of violence that is part of a wider pattern of gender inequality rather than one-off incidents. Mm. So just to offer that out to the group.
I feel like that, it definitely captures this issue of, again, like, the way that it feels like flirting is sort of like the sheep's clothing that the wolf of harassment is wearing,
mm-hmm.
you know, it sort of, like, makes this, like, kind of, like, more insidious kind of like dynamic that can be happening. It gives it this kind of like socially tolerable, you know, acceptable cover, that lets people kind of behave in quite coercive and nefarious kinds of ways under the guise of like, well, this is just a normal and quite a benign kind of behaviour. And there's lots of kind of like different kind of acts of violence or behaviours that we might recognise as being abusive in nature that function in that way as well. Things like stalking, you know, like stalking, if we're thinking really objectively about stalking, we know that that's, you know, a really serious type of, you know, form that gender-based violence can take. It's, you know, kind of incurs a really high mortality rate, actually. Stalking, when there's a pattern of stalking, it's really unfortunately statistically likely that there's going to be extreme violence or homicide. But a lot of the behaviours that are stalking behaviours are codified as being really quite socially acceptable and normal. Again, like we've talked a few times throughout this episode of the idea of, like, you know, token resistance, the idea that it's kind of part of flirting, it's kind of part of the whole experience of like doing heteronormative sexual bonding, that the woman is sort of hard to get and the man has to like work extra hard in order to like get her attention or get her approval. But, you know, if we take that outside of the context of like, you know, the sort of like kind of, you know, idealized kind of rom-com, you know, vibe, what that looks like is a man being really, really persistent and not respecting a woman's autonomy and not respecting consent, you know, consent. This is, I think, like another sort of like way that kind of demonstrates that, like, the way in which like really kind of like socially tolerated, acceptable, even socially encouraged types of behaviours actually play a role in perpetuating violence, and are often like part of gender socialisation. Men are socialised to behave in this way, or encouraged to behave in this way.
And there's something that kind of ties in with what you're saying, but also it's that I think I wanted to bring this in as part of a kind of pop culture-y kind of thing that I'm not sure if all of us has watched it, but at least like I know you have recently, Mira, and I watched it recently, that Barbarian.
Barbarian.
So I don't know if you and Mira, if you want to give because you recently watched
it. It's such a good example of, so the beginning of this film, the Barbarian, which has one of the Skarsgård brothers.
So at least three of us are massive fans of Skarsgård. I don't know how Francesca feels, but
I'm a fan of Daddy Skarsgård. I like Daddy Skarsgård.
I will Google this. So
but Bill, it's Bill, right?
My favorite Bill.
But Bill Skarsgård is also wonderful, and he's in this film, which was shot in Bulgaria, and the first kind of third of it is fascinating in the sense that it's just a very weird situation that a man and a woman are thrown in, and they are of compatible ages, meaning that there is instantly a presumption that there might be a romantic attachment. And the guy is trying to, be something, and you can never tell from the perspective of the girl, is he flirting or is he trying to kill me? And the fact that it's like, it's so, like the line is so impossible to tell, because he's doing these things that are like, oh, I'm being so considerate, but also it's fascinating. It's fascinating how it keeps fluctuating, and as the character, and you're kind of seeing, you're as the viewer are put on the shoulder of the main protagonist, and the whole time you're just like, is he being nice? Is he trying? Yeah. What's happening? Yeah.
You feel the suspense, the tension of that internal dialogue she's having with herself of like, I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah.
It's because men have no aware of the impact that they have on women. They do not understand, like, you know, how culturally, you know, their behavior can impact us.
Yeah.
And I think that's why when they flirt, they do not understand that maybe maybe it could be like, oh my God, you're going to kill me.
But that's one of the reasons why it's so fascinating, is because one of the things that the scene has is like, so he offers her tea and she doesn't take any of the tea. Mm-hmm. And she goes to the bathroom and she comes back and he's like sitting on a table with a bottle of wine, like making, not blinking and making prolonged eye contact and going, do you want to have some of this wine? I didn't open it because I noticed that you didn't have any of your tea. And of course you wouldn't have any of your tea. I'm a man. You don't know what I've put in it. So here's the wine. I've never opened the wine. Do you want to open the wine together and have some of the wine? Prolonged eye contact.
It's oh my just God, like, that's so creepy.
But that's the point, right? So Muir's describing it this way, which is only half of the experience when you watch it, because that's the point. The point is you're like, there's a way of interpreting this that feels like really creepy, but there's also a way of interpreting it.
Like, he's just being a very considerate guy. Like
he's self-aware of, look, I know we're in this situation, you don't know how I am. There was a bottle of wine that the owners left for the tenants, and I wanted the wine, but I didn't want to open the wine when you weren't in the room because, I didn't want you to be worried that I would have tampered with the wine, and this feels very intense, but basically, I'm going to have wine, do you want wine? Mm-hmm. So it's actually the character seems to be aware of this, but as of you're watching it and going, you're getting cues of safety and danger.
This could go either way. This could go like from,
and that's the female experience.
Courtship, early courtship. Yeah, and without flirting. Like any spoilers, like I'm watching this and being like, they could either end up being like married by the end of this, or this could end up with like a horror rape murder.
And there's no way of knowing.
There's no way of knowing. There's no like, you can't know. Fascinating. Oh, just so well done.
It makes me think of a conversation that me and you, Irene, had about like men now having the lingo to, I don't know, to talk about these things. Yeah. And so you think, like my ex, just because, I wish I could say name and surname, but I think I will not do that. But I think he had that. Like, our entire early conversations was basically made me believe that we shared the values about, like, I don't know, how the world should go, and the fact, you know, what it is, gender roles, right?
You shared ideology, you shared a worldview.
Yeah. So I thought that we were like, I thought that we did. And then the longer that our relationship went, the more I realized, oh my God, like this guy actually is nothing like what he portrayed. I'm not even sure why some of the things he told, like I genuinely thought that some of the things that he was saying was from my perspective. And actually I got it completely wrong. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what to say, how to twist it. So I would believe he was like a feminist or women ally. As much as he could.
And he was the talk, but he didn't walk the walk.
Oh my God, no.
And it is.
No, eventually stopped talking the talk because he did not know how to. I mean, we were together for a very long time.
Yeah.
So eventually it was just a big bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, but that made me realize about like, based on also on the film that you were describing, like, so then, you know, you can flirt knowing the lingo.
Yes.
Yeah. Or what can actually make me feel safe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you're so not safe to me.
Yeah.
You know, but also because we are rash and not have time.
It's the metaphor of the wolf in sheep's clothing again, right? Mm-hmm. It's that metaphor again of like, the predator learns how to appear innocuous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that happens with, with quote unquote progressive men. And I think it is its own episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
I think we could do a whole... Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. it's its own conversation, just that issue.
Yeah, because if I had time, I would have found out that you were not like a sheep.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how to be a sheep. You only know how to present like a sheep.
You don't. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye, boy. Bye.
On that note, We'll round up the podcast with a round of Who Said That Shit?
Woohoo! I love Who Said That Shit?
So I have five quotes for you and lots of questionable men's names to pick from. So number one, you've got to deny, and push back on these women. If you admit to anything and any culpability, then you're dead. You've got to be strong. You've got to be aggressive.
Voila.
Was it Donald Trump, Andrew Tate, Nick Fuentes, or Charlie Kirk?
Charlie Kirk wasn't in this one.
I forgot.
Donald Trump.
Sounds
right. Tate.
I'll just go for Nick. So that we're on all bases apart from Kirk.
I feel like Nick hasn't had very many options to deny women. I don't feel like he's had many opportunities when he's had to turn women down.
Yeah.
But
the answer is Donald Trump.
Woo! Well done.
President of the United States of America.
Yep.
Yep.
Lovely.
Number two. This one needs a bit of context, so I'll give you context after I read it out. What self-respecting man would climb into bed with you? So this was the context of this. It was an interview on mental health with a female political journalist.
What?
So commenting on her attractiveness rather than what she had to say on the topic of mental health. So was it Nigel Farage, Tommy Robinson, Lawrence Fox, or Piers Morgan?
Piers Morgan.
It does feel a bit like
Piers. Yeah, Piers Morgan.
Who was the first option again?
Nigel Farage.
Nigel Farage.
He cares too much about his... Yeah, I don't think he would say that.
He might think it.
Yeah, it's not his flavour of obscene behaviour. I'm going to go for Tommy Robinson.
It was Lawrence Fox.
Oh! Almost lost. Who's Lawrence Fox?
He's an actor turned far-right conservative politician.
Oh, he was in the news quite recently, wasn't he? What did he do? He did something quite recently that was... I don't know, maybe it was in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination. Mm. But he sort of poked up in the pool of relevance.
Mm.
Lovely. And hopefully he will sink away again.
Disappear back down his hole.
Back into the void.
Okay, number three. Get on your knees and bark like a dog. Was it Charlie Sheen, Mel Gibson, Hulk Hogan, or Vince McMahon?
Oh, I got Charlie Sheen.
Hulk Hogan. What were the four options?
Charlie Sheen, Mel Gibson, Hulk Hogan, or Vince McMahon.
Charlie Sheen. I don't know.
It was Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon.
For those who don't know, he did run WWE.
Lovely.
He's no longer in charge of it because of lots of allegations, I guess.
Colour me surprised.
Shocking.
So, next one. Andrew Tate is an important voice for the emasculated and is giving boys perhaps a bit of confidence in school. Was it David Cameron, Nigel Farage, Jeremy Hunt, or Boris Johnson?
Nigel.
No, Boris Johnson. Oh, I love like this list.
I'm gonna go for
options.
Nigel, Boris,
David Cameron, or Jeremy Hunt.
David Cameron doesn't say fucking shit about fuck anymore.
I don't know. Jeremy Hunt?
It was Nigel.
Nigel. Nice. Well done, Nigel.
Nigel.
I'm so disappointed in you. Otherwise, such a good man. Shocked.
From a migrant perspective.
Yeah, I'm just like... Oh,
so Nigel, real protector of women.
Last but not least, she's a coward. She's worse than the quitter she is. She's actually a ringer for the other side. If Simone believes that trans women are women, then I'm just going to assume that Simone is trans. Yeah, she's trans. So, was it Logan Paul, Joe Rogan, Matt Rife, Greg Gutfeld?
I don't know who most of these are.
Matt Rife, I think.
Is that?
They're kind of podcasty comedy bros.
One of the American ones, I think. Yeah. American podcasty bros. Okay.
Him. Them.
Read again.
Logan Paul, Joe Rogan, Matt Rife, Greg Gutfeld.
I don't think that Joe Rogan has as much spite for trans people.
Yeah.
He's like, I think he would go as far as maybe dismissive, but not actively being like, oh, you fucking.
He wouldn't, he wouldn't put his.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wouldn't die on that hill. I'm going to go for the last guy because he's got a really horrible name.
Poor guy.
Well, we'll see.
It was Greg Gutfeld.
There we go. Clues in the name, guys.
Go with your gut.
Yeah.
Just not Greg Gutfeld.
Yeah.
I've got some quotes that I found that were kind of like nice feminist day quotes to end with.
Lift our spirits.
To lift our spirits and give us hope.
Your story gave us hope.
Lift our
spirits.
Spirits.
Yay!
Cheers.
We are not promoting like inconsiderate drinking. Mm. Just keep it clean.
I actually have three that I can't choose from, so I'm just going to read them like three out and you can just cut whatever ones out that don't sound right or fit in with
sounds like a job for Francesco.
The patriarchy teaches girls that boys are mean because they care, then blames women for choosing abusive men rather than the system that taught them cruelty is love.
Mm-hmm.
My soul, actually I like this one. My soul craves.
Yeah, hello.
It's just, it's from at Wicked Woman Author on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
My soul craves poetry and men hand me crumpled notes with shallow pickup lines and misspelled jokes, lying that their words will turn to prose if I would reward their lust with flesh.
Oh.
And then the other one I've got is just, a date is not a transactional exchange whereby your niceness dictates a woman owes you sex. Nice guys finish last because their niceness isn't genuine. It's a tactic for personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is true.
Yeah.
I think we keep all of them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye.